My name is Catherine Austin Fitz. I'm the publisher of the Solari Report and managing director of Solari Investment Advisory Services.
And what do you think is happening economically as a result of all this?
So what is happening, I just published a huge study called The State of Our Currencies. And what I describe is the fact that for many decades, the dollar has been the reserve currency. And the system is what I would describe as long in the tooth. And the central bankers are trying to bring in a new system, but it's not ready to go yet. And what we're in a period of great change and uncertainty where the central bankers are trying to keep the dollar system going and accelerate. So they're trying to lengthen the dollar system, and then they're trying to accelerate bringing in the new system. And they have to bring in the new system without anybody quite realizing exactly what it is. So we've had a global reserve currency system, the dollar, and it needs to evolve and change, and it's long in the tooth. There's lots of unhappiness with the system, and the central bankers are trying to bring a new system. And to do it, they're trying to extend the old and accelerate the new, and it makes it a very chaotic thing since much of the new is being tested and tried and prototyped, and it involves many different industries. So I describe the new system as the end of currencies. So we're not bringing in a new currency. We're essentially bringing in a new transaction system that will be all digital and essentially end currencies as we know them. So what they're trying to do involves essentially all the money on the planet. So it's big, it's complicated, it's messy. And the challenge they have is how do you market a system that if people understood it, nobody would want. And of course, the way you do that is with a healthcare crisis.
And why is the healthcare crisis good for that?
Because generally, if a few people want to control the many, the question is how can you herd all the sheep into the slaughterhouse without them realizing and resisting? So the perfect thing is invisible enemies. So we had the war on terrorism, with invisible terrorists, and then now a virus is perfect because it's invisible. You can't prove that it doesn't exist because it's visible, invisible. So invisible enemies are always the preferred one, particularly if they scare people. If you can use fear and introduce significant fear, then people will need government to protect them from the invisible enemy. Then the second tactic, which is very effective, is divide and conquer. And so in the meantime, if you can use the media plays a very important role. If you can turn men and women against each other and black and white against each other. And one of the reasons you import a lot of immigrants into Europe is turn the general population against the immigrants, and then you need government to be in the middle. And so these are all, whether it's divide and tactic or invisible enemies, these are all ways to institute fear and get people to go along with things. And of course, the invisible virus allows you to do enormous control mechanisms. You can stop people from gathering, you can stop people from organizing, you can stop people from getting together and talking about what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. And if you digitize it with contract tracing, then you can control who's talking to whom. If you can get them to do all their work and education online, you can literally listen to everything they're saying. So you can institute extraordinary amounts of surveillance, all in the theory that we're protecting you from the invisible virus. It's very clever, and as you can see, it's working in with many people, not everybody, but many people. So to me, a lot, and I don't want to underestimate the ability of the leadership to introduce pathogens that will kill people, and I don't want to suggest that people aren't getting sick, but essentially what you're trying to do is you're trying to get people to buy into a solution before they see where it's ultimately going to go. Because you're talking about a transaction system that is no longer a currency, it's a control system. So it's like a credit at the company store. If every central bank comes out with a digital central bank currency, they have the ability to turn your money on and off. So if you don't behave, that's it. And of course, as we know, they want to combine this with transhumanism, which means literally, I take injections that can institute the equivalent of an operating system in my body. And so I'm hooked up to the financial system, literally, physically.
To step back to the beginning a little bit, a little 101,
sure.
What is the actual effect of the lockdown measures?
So what you're doing is you're trying to, I used to call the Patriot Act the Concentration and Control of Cash Flow Act, and this is a very similar process. You're trying to dramatically centralize economic and political control. So let me give you an example. We have 100 small businesses on Main Street in a community. You declare them non-essential, shut them down. Suddenly Amazon and Walmart and the big box stores can come in and take away all the market share. In the meantime, the people on Main Street have to keep paying off their credit cards or their mortgage. So they're in a debt entrapment, and they're desperate to get cash flow to cover basically their debts and their day-to-day expenses. In the meantime, you have the Federal Reserve institute a form of quantitative easing where they're buying corporate bonds, and the guys who are taking up the market share can basically finance at, you know, 0 to 1%, or their banks can 0 to 1%, when everybody in Main Street is paying 16 to 17% of their credit cards without income. So basically, now you've got them over a barrel, and you can take away their market share. And generally, they can't afford to do what they say because they're too busy trying to find money to feed their kids. In the 2016 election cycle, we saw the general population support candidates who represented populism in a variety of different ways. So Bernie Sanders was a populist relative to the other candidates. Donald Trump was a populist relative to the other candidates. And literally what the sort of global capital class realized was they had a problem that you know, that could be solved by destroying the independent income of small business and sole practitioners and people who had independent forms of income. So if you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, if you're a CPA and you have your own practice, you are generally going to support the populist candidates. And so the way to shut the populist candidates down is to shut off their income and support, which is you put Main Street out of business, and then there's nobody to finance a Bernie Sanders or a Donald Trump. There's nobody to support him.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, do the lockdown measures appear to you to be, it's more of an economic thing than a virus mitigation plan?
So this is an economic war, and you've basically had sort of the top 1%. So since April, we've seen global billionaires increase their net worth by 27%. Now, what that says is this has been a very successful global economic war, because what you're having is the sort of global capitalist class, and I shouldn't call it capitalism because it's not. It's much more economic totalitarianism. What you've seen is they've been able to consolidate fantastic amounts of economic wealth, not just by deleting the income of the middle class and consolidating it into their companies, but by significantly improving the wealth and power of the largest G7 developed countries and China vis-a-vis the emerging markets. So, you know, the countries with the most advanced technology and the access to AI and software and to the sort of digital systems, including through space, are dramatically consolidating economic power vis-a-vis the weaker nations. So we're seeing a consolidation of economic power, centralization, both into the wealthier and the more powerful nations, and the basically top 1% who control them. So I would describe what COVID-19 is the institution of controls necessary to convert the planet from democratic process to technocracy. So what we're watching is a change in control and an engineering of new control systems. So think of this as a coup d'etat. It's much more like a coup d'etat than a virus. So for 20 some years in the United States, we've had a financial coup d'etat. And we knew at the end of 1995, a decision was made to move much of the assets and money out of the country. That was part of sort of bubbling the global economy with globalization. And they knew that once they'd finished moving all those assets, that they would have to consolidate and change the fundamental system. So after the financial coup, you've stolen all the money in the pension funds, you've stolen all the money in the government. And now, rather than turn and tell people, well, we stole your money, you need an excuse that will allow you to consolidate and change the fundamental system. And so you have a magic virus. And the magic virus says, oh, you know, we have to fundamentally change the system. And, you know, thanks to the magic virus, there's no money in Social Security. Thanks to the magic virus, there's no money in the Treasury. You know, and you have your perfect magic excuse.
Everything can be blamed on the virus.
Yeah. The magic virus can, you know, it's amazing because every implication of the financial coup has been magically solved by the magic virus. Yeah. It's quite, if you're a financial person and you look at the world through the mathematics of time and money, it's quite amazing that anybody believes it, but they do.
Yeah, right.
It's part of joining the, you know, what C.J. Hopkins calls the Covidian cult. You join the cult and you say, oh, yeah, well, the magic virus took all the money from Social Security. Yeah. Magic virus caused our pension funds to, you know, not be sufficient. Blah, 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 blah.
So what do you think the technocracy that we're being pushed towards will look like?
So the technocracy that they're pushing towards is what is called transhumanism. So essentially what you do is you use injections to inject materials into the body that create the equivalent of an operating system. So everybody knows the idea of Microsoft causing you to download an operating system in your computer that gives Microsoft and a variety of other players a backdoor into your computer. And every month or two or three, you've got to update it because they're viruses, right? And it's back to the magic virus that can solve all problems. And so this is a similar system for your body. You inject materials into your body that essentially create the equivalent of an operating system and a receiver, and you can literally hook everybody up to the cloud. And that includes hooking them up in a way that their transaction system, you know, the Bible calls it the mark of the beast, is one way people know this up. But you're basically talking about being able to digitally identify and track people in connection with their financial transactions. So it's a world of zero privacy. But more importantly, what's important to understand is if you then institute one or more central bank cryptos, you're now talking about a system where every central bank in the world can shut you off individually from transacting if they don't like the way you're behaving. So many people are familiar with the social credit system in China. It's very similar. You're basically, if you install the smart grid in their car, their community, and now literally in their body, you've got 24/7 surveillance. And if people don't do what you say and behave the way you want, they can and will shut off your money. So and they'll also have spatial control. If they say you can't travel more than 5 miles, that's it. Because you're in a complete digital control system, and it's controlled by the central bankers through the money. We're digitizing everything, but it includes the human body as well and the human mind. So this system comes with complete control, not only of your ability to transact financially, which is hooked up to your body, but very sophisticated mind control technology through the media and those cloud connections. So basically you're talking about hooking up into the Borg, if you will. And so transhumanism, technocracy go hand in hand. Now, I would describe this as a slavery system. So we're talking about shifting out of freedom, where we have freedom to roam and freedom to say what we want, into a complete control system 24/7, including mind control. Now, the challenge before us is if the committee that runs the world, my nickname being Mr. Global, if Mr. Global wants to go to a slavery system and we want to remain a human civilization, then we have a fundamental disagreement. And that is the disagreement before us.
And we get to the diagrams here.
Okay. So if you look at what's going on, we have the tech people building the clouds and the telecommunications. We have the military doing space and Operation Warp Speed. So they're putting up the satellites, okay? Then we have Big Pharma, which is making the injections that are full of these mystery ingredients and change, modify your DNA, and for all we know, make you infertile. And then we have the media pouring out the propaganda. And then we have the central bankers engineering to the crypto, the central bank crypto systems. So you have these different pillars, and it's very important when you look at what's going on day to day, particularly in the media, they're trying to keep them separate so that you can't see how they're going to come together in an integrated system, which is basically integrated into your body and your mind.
For what purpose?
To institute the slavery system. So in other words, if I am going to do everything through a smart grid, and I need to run the smart grid into your neighborhood, and then I need to run the smart grid into your body, the question is, how am I going to build it out in your neighborhood and build it out in your body without you seeing the trap? Right? So that's why you try and keep these different lines separate. So if you listen to the central bankers, they try as hard as they can to stay away from these conversations. So it was interesting. I was watching an IMF presentation on cross-border payments, and the Federal Reserve Chairman, the head of the IMF, mentioned the digital global ID system. And you would have the Federal Reserve Chairman almost blanched, and you could energetically feel him moving like a galaxy away. Like, no, because... You know, there are 325 million Americans, and there are more than 325 million guns. And he doesn't want everybody to see this until the trap is thrown. It's too late.
We've been put in a trap this year?
Yes. Right, but the door hasn't shut. So that's why the reason we're talking is because transparency can blow the game. It's interesting because in the beginning of the year when I wrote the article Injection Fraud and said Bill Gates is trying to download an operating system in your body just the way you download it in your mind and use viruses as an excuse to have to update it, to make it work for his back door every day. 3 months later, and then Corbett did a great series on Gates, and several people came out and sort of reaffirmed this. And it was in the fall, Yahoo Finance did a poll, published a poll saying that 44% of Republicans thought Bill Gates wanted to chip them. And I said, okay, we're making progress. So, and that's exactly when Gates sort of disappeared and they brought out Operation Warp Speed, because they needed, and interestingly enough, the person they chose to run Operation Warp Speed was an expert on injectable brain-machine interface. He used to head research at GlaxoSmithKline, and he's a brain-machine interface expert.
It's a creepy resume for that job, huh?
It's a perfect resume for that job. You know, here's one of the most important developments that happened in 2019, in addition to the approval of the Going Direct plan by the central bankers in Jackson Hole. was the issuance by the Department of Defense of the Jedi Cloud contract to Microsoft. So you had Amazon receive, Amazon is essentially a CIA and intelligence agency contractor. They started generating profit when they entered into major contracts with the CIA to provide the clouds, not only for the CIA, but all 17 U.S. intelligence agencies through that umbrella cloud contract. So you now have Amazon running the intelligence agency's contract. This year, Leidos did a big contract, or at the end of 2019, Leidos did a big contract with the Navy, and then DoD did the Jedi contract. And so those three huge cloud contracts give you the ability, once you get everybody hooked up into them, to radically re-engineer how the cash flows work. So you can literally shut down all small business, or almost all small business, put everybody on a universal basic income, which is basically a control system, and run it all through the military clouds.
So you can see the direction we're headed, but it's a little uncertain as to why, or?
No, it's simple. Technology gives you the ability to institute a complete control system and further centralize economic and political control. So I'll give you a perfect example. The reason the African-American slave trade ended, there were two reasons, in my opinion. One is you couldn't perfect collateral. So the banks in London kept losing money because the plantation owners, when the commodities market went down, would sell their slaves west, and the banks couldn't go get their collateral. So they would finance the purchase of a slave at, say, 50% loan-to-value ratio, and then when the commodities market's down, they'd sell the slave, say he ran away, and the banks would be hung, right? And the banks couldn't prove that, you know, Harry was their slave because they had no way of perfecting collateral, okay? Mm-hmm. So that was number one. Second was the Haitians rebelled, and the Europeans sent several armies in to try and quell the rebellion and never could. The Haitians were too good, okay? Now, if you look at digital technology, you can perfect the collateral, okay? And with space weaponry and the kind of weaponry you have from space and surveillance, you can put down any rebellion, right? So the reasons that the slave trade, which was unbelievably profitable, the history of the world is slavery is the most profitable business. It's more profitable than mining. It's more profitable than narcotics. I mean, it's more profitable than all the addictions. So if you now have the technological capability of implementing slavery, their attitude, I think, is, okay, let's do it, right? Yeah. And part of it is technology also makes it much easier for a small group of people to get together and be very powerful. So, for example, if they bring in breakthrough energy technology, the danger is a small group of crazy people can weaponize it. So technology is powerful. The more powerful technology you integrate, the more danger there is you lose control. Now, there are other theories as to why people would want complete control. So I'll give you another reason. You know, given the difficulty of feeding and managing a population that's getting ever larger, if you now have biotechnology that allows Mr. Global to live for 150 years, you know, you can't keep that secret, right? If the wealthy are living for 150 years and we're not, that you can't keep that a secret. So why not downsize the population, integrate robots, use robotics for everything, and you can have a very wealthy and luxurious life without all the management headaches, right?